Let's turn to the Bible. We're not getting anywhere right here. So let's turn to the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And Emma was scheduled to sing, and Marla messaged me earlier and said that she was running a little fever, and so they were staying home. So pray for Emma, but hopefully all will be well there. So, all right, we're going to turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We picked up in the first 18 verses of this passage a few weeks back. We looked at the story of Hannah. And basically, if you remember, Hannah's predicament was that she was childless. She was barren. She could not have a baby. And it was made worse by the fact that she had a rival, Elkanah. Her husband had another wife, Peninnah. And Peninnah was constantly using this very cruelly to just drag Hannah down and make her feel bad. And so we saw when Hannah went with Elkanah and the rest to Shiloh, to the tabernacle, that she went to the tabernacle and prayed. And Eli the priest saw her there, thought she was drunk at first because he could see her lips moving, but nothing was coming out. And he thought she was drunk and kind of accosted her. And she said, "No, I'm not drunk. I'm just pouring out my soul to the Lord." And anyway, when she got up from her prayers, God had met with her. God gave her grace and peace about this situation. And it said in the very end of what we read last time, at the very end of verse 18, that her countenance was no more sad. Her situation was unchanged. She still did not have a baby. She still was not pregnant. But her countenance was no more sad. I think that speaks volumes of her heart and where she was and of how God had met with her. And folks, sometimes what we need, I mean, God may not answer our prayer right then and there, but what we need is His peace. We need to know that we are in His will and in His plan, and He has us, and He's not going to drop us. So let's look beginning in verse 19. Chapter 1 of 1 Samuel, verse 19. If you are able, if you would stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. "And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, 'Because I have asked him of the Lord.' And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, 'I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever.' And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, 'Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word.' So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, 'O my Lord, as my soul liveth, or as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord.' And he worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of His saints. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall He thunder upon them. And the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and He shall give strength unto His king and exalt the horn of His anointed. Well, let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, we just pray tonight that You would give us freedom and grace to enter into Your Word and allow it to enter into us. And we pray that we might learn from Hannah's story. And we thank You for what You've given us through this account. Lord, speak to our hearts now, we pray. Challenge us and build faith within us. Help us to trust You. And we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So there are a couple things here I want us to really key in on. One is verse 19. They rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. I mean, the priority of worship. You know, the first thing they did, I don't know what Elkanah's understanding of all this was. Most of the times, you know, the guys are not really understanding too much with their wives. It's just, you know, kind of one of those things. But regardless, they got up, and the first thing they did, before they returned home, they worshiped the Lord. And, I think that what they do here is they give us the picture of the fact that our prayer life, you know, this was about Hannah's prayer life. Her prayer life was anchored in the Lord and in worship. And so we need to make sure that we're not just... We talked this morning about seeking the face of God rather than seeking His blessing or seeking what He can do for us. You know, she wasn't just seeking a baby. She was seeking the Lord. And I think that's so important. I think that's what we need to have in our own hearts, is to have our focus on the Lord Jesus and to keep it there. And that's before our prayer, during our prayer, after our prayer. That ought to be there. And then the other thing is that they worship together. And I think that is so needed. You know, families need to worship together. You know, husbands and wives need to worship together. How many problems could we avoid if only we could worship together as a family, hear from God, be impacted, be touched, be changed, and, so they get up, they worship, and now they're returning home. And they're content to worship God, to trust Him, and to go on. I don't think they know the answer to what's going to happen next, but yet God has given Hannah a peace about it. So, verse 20, the time came about after Hannah had conceived. They returned home. Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, had sexual relations with her. And the Lord remembered her. Okay? What a great thought. The Lord remembered her. You know, have you ever been forgotten? You know, maybe when you were a kid, your parents, you know, forgot you at church or somewhere. You know, we've had some parents actually have done that several times over the years. Especially with some of these large families, they kind of tend to, lose sight of I mean, it's hard to imagine, but yet it can happen, believe me. Well, you know, it's kind of hurtful when you've been forgotten. But the Lord remembered Hannah. The Lord remembered. He did not forget. You know, the Bible tells us that the Lord remembered Noah. Remember in the time of the flood, they were out there on the boat, and God remembered Noah. He did not forget. The Bible tells us that the Lord remembered Rachel. You know, when she was going through a similar thing to Hannah. She was wanting to have children and could not. And the Lord remembered her. And so I want to just say to you, you know, the Lord remembers us. Isaiah 49 and verse 13 gives us this thought. Isaiah 49 verse 13 says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." And then notice the answer. "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." The Lord says, you know, the greatest example of love that we might think of is a mother with her child. That's pretty awesome. And that's strong. I mean, that's strong. But He said, a mother may forget her baby, but I will not forget you. He said, if you can imagine the most incredible act of being forgotten and left behind, and yet, He said, I will not forget you. In fact, He said, I've graven you. What did He say? I've graven you upon the palms of my hands. I think that's more than just poetic language. I think that is a direct glance forward to the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. And so, lest you ever think, well, God's just forgotten me. You know, God's just forgotten me, and I'm here I am, and I'm all alone, and nobody knows, and nobody cares, and you know, woe is me. Look, that's simply not the case. God says, I will not forget you. And He says, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. And I think the nail prints that Jesus bears today in heaven on His hands and His feet are the very essence of His love for us and how much He cares for us, absolutely. So He has not forgotten us. Well, so we see then in Hannah's story that Hannah conceived, and in the right time, in the time that it should be, she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I've asked him of the Lord." And Samuel, it sounds like heard of God or requested of God in the Hebrew. You could translate the name literally, the name of God. But she thought of it in terms of that God had heard her and answered her request, answered her prayer. So, you know, think about that for a moment. Hannah has gone from a place where, even though she's loved by her husband, she is treasured by her husband. You can tell that he truly loves her and tries to comfort her. You know, "Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" And she probably said, "Don't be ridiculous, Elkanah," or something. You know, I mean, he, even though he loved her, yet she had this wound. I mean, nobody can understand that except someone who's tried to have children and, you know, hasn't been able to. And there is a feeling there that is so difficult, so painful. Well, so then notice what she does next. Because the next year they are going back to Shiloh. They're going back to the sacrifices and they're taking their tithes and they're doing all these things that they've been commanded to do in the law. And so they go back up in verse 21. But verse 22, but Hannah went not up. And Hannah said to her husband, no, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to take care of this baby. And when I have weaned him, which typically would be around age 3, okay, in this time period. So when I've weaned him, then I will take him to the tabernacle there at Shiloh. And so, and there it says, verse 22, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Because remember, that was her vow back in verse 11. You know, if you will give your handmaid a man-child, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So Samuel was a Nazarite. He was given over to God. That meant no haircuts. All right? I mean, think about that. By the time he was an old man. And then... no wine or fruit of the vine. That was a part of that vow. And he was given to the Lord. And when you think about it, that's an amazing vow. Because here is Hannah praying for this need within her heart to be met. But in the same breath, she says, and Lord, I'll give this child to you all the days of his life. Well, I just want to say to you, whatever you give to God, number one, He can take and do far more with than you ever could. But honestly, whatever you give to God, He will give far more to you in return. You know, He will bless you. He will do some things in your life that you could not imagine. That's what happens here. Elkanah says to Hannah, verse 23, do what seems right. Stay until you win him. Only the Lord establish his word. I think he's kind of saying, just make sure that, you know, that we do this, that we keep our vow, that we do what we have promised to God. So she stayed until she had weaned him. Verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Now, it's a little bit hard. I've always thought of this. I thought, man, that's kind of cold. She's just bringing him and dropping him off at the tabernacle here. But, you know, honestly, it wasn't like that completely. Because, number one, the priest's family was there. And so, basically, he became a part of the priest's family. And, you know, the women folk there were taking care of him and the others were watching. You know, I mean, it was not like he was just kind of orphaned there at the tabernacle and left to fend for himself with Eli, this old guy. You know, there was much more there. At least I feel like there was. All right, so brought the sacrifice of a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she says to Eli, the high priest, Lord, I'm the woman that stood here. Lord, I'm the one you thought was drunk. She doesn't say that here, but I'm the one who stood here praying and that you spoke to me that day. And I prayed for this child. And God has given me my petition, which I ask of him. And therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And the word here is that she has given him over. Okay, as long as he lives, she is giving him to the Lord. And so when you think about this, this is a pretty incredible moment. I mean, it really is. Because on one hand, I think as parents, we all want our kids to serve the Lord. You know, to know Jesus and to love God and to serve the Lord. But if our kids came and said, you know, we feel called to go and minister to the new colony on the other side of the moon, or, you know, or whatever. And they said, you know, we're packing up and leaving out next week. And boy, we'd be, you're not taking the grandkids, are you? You know, we have that within us. But I think it's really important for us as parents to release our children to the Lord. Give your kids to the Lord. Give them to the Lord. And keep giving them to the Lord. Because I promise you, He can do more with your kids than you can. And while you would like to be there for them, and you'd like to protect them, and you'd like to watch over them and just take care of every part of their life and help them through all these things, you can't do it. If you're standing right beside them or behind them or wherever, you can't do it. You can't fix it all. You can't change it. You can't work through all that stuff. Give them to the Lord again and again and again, and tell the Lord, Lord, You've given me these kids, and they are Yours. And there's a peace in that. There's a peace in that. Because even though the Lord could call my kids or your kids to, you know, move off somewhere and serve Him, or, you know, do something that we wouldn't really be excited about maybe initially, but yet, I want to tell you, far better for our kids to be in the will of God and to be serving the Lord than to be tied to mama's apron strings and be out of the will of God. So give your kids to the Lord, and I think that's... but honestly, this is an incredible story right here. I mean, when this happens, it's just like, wow, you know, it's one of those moments you just have to really, yeah, I was young. He was very young. He was very young. But, you know, she had dedicated him to the Lord, and she was not going to go back on that. And so, I think this is, you know, it's an incredible act of faith on her part and of obedience on her part. And I don't think it was all easy. You know, I'm sure it was tough. I'll never forget the story of Hudson Taylor when he left to go to China to be a missionary. And this was back in probably the early 1800s maybe, 1840s, I don't know. But he told the story that his mother, accompanied him to the ship. He got on the ship to sail to China, knowing that he would never see her again. And he said the moment when, he said she was strong, she was good, until the ship left the pier and started moving out. And he heard the cry just coming from his mother's heart. And that's pretty tough. I mean, that's pretty hard to fathom. But here's the good part. They've been together in heaven now for, you know, over 100 years probably. I don't know when it was that he died. But, I mean, you know, we don't think in those terms very often, because we can't conceive of heaven and we can't conceive of eternity, and we don't understand the healing that happens there. But better to give your children up for a brief time here and be, you know, and to have them fully in heaven, you know, than to try to hold on to them here and keep them from being what God intended them to be. And here's the other part of this. Hannah is giving the Lord this child. She is giving Israel a great gift. Think about the impact that Samuel had in the spiritual life of Israel. Had a huge impact. And you know, I was reading. I've been reading a book, and this is kind of obscure, I know, but it's about the great revival that occurred in Wales in 1859, and it happened. They've been having revival just kind of through the years, all through there. As there were revivals happening in America, there was a lot of revivals all through Wales, but in 1857, the prayer revival started up in the eastern United States, Boston and New York, and possibly as many as a million people came to Christ. And out of a 30 million, you know, population in America at that time, that's pretty amazing. That's pretty significant. But the reports of that revival just kind of spurred these Christians in Wales. And they began praying and seeking the Lord, and revival began breaking out, and they saw some amazing things. But one of the things that happened during that revival and other revivals was how God brought young men into the ministry who became greatly used by God. And folks, if there's anything we need today, we need young men and women to be given to the Lord, to be called into ministry, to serve the Lord, to do whatever He has for them to do. We very much need that. And what a blessing that is when that happens. And anyway. All right, so chapter 2, we come to Hannah's song. And she prays and just praises the Lord. I mean, she just got this great song just welling up within her. And I just want us to just notice a couple of things about it. First of all, in verse 1, she says, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." And it is reminiscent of Mary's song of praise. Okay, the Magnificat. You remember that? And very similar in some ways. And probably Mary kind of based her song of praise on Hannah's song of praise. But she said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." Now think about this. She's just given this child. She's just given the greatest thing that she has to the Lord. And here's her song of praise. "My heart rejoices in the Lord." I mean, look, when you give yourself, when you give your stuff, when you give your kids, when you give all that you have to the Lord, it's not going to diminish anything about you. It's only going to build you and strengthen you, and it does Hannah. "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn." Now, they used horn in terms of strength. Okay? An animal, that was a sign of their strength, was their horn. They would use that horn to attack or to defend themselves. And so when you see that in Scripture, a lot of times that's used as an indication of strength. So she's saying, "My horn, my strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies." Now that one is a little more problematic, and I don't really want to comment too much on that particular part of the text. So her mouth was enlarged, and I don't want to get too much into she had a big mouth or whatever. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, "I smiled at my enemies." That sounds a lot better. So thank you, Lenora. And I was looking at this in the Holman Christian Standard Version, and I did not catch that. I did not. So I was reading that a second ago, and I thought, oh my heart, my mouth. You know, that's just, anyway. All right, moving on. "I rejoice in thy salvation." And then verses 2 and 3, she kind of focuses on some of the attributes of God. Just notice those. "There is none holy as the Lord," the holiness of God. "There's none like God in His holiness." And then the second, "There's none beside thee." There's no equal. There's no one who even compares to Him. And then, "Neither is there any rock like our God, talking of His strength, of His power, that when we are resting on Him, we cannot be shaken. And then verse 3, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. He is all-knowing. He understands. His understanding is unlimited. He knows everything. And so, and by Him actions are weighed. That is, He is a righteous judge, a discerner of what is good and what is right and what's wrong. And then notice in verses 4 through about 8, it gives us kind of a breakdown of how the Lord works, and He just does things. He's sovereign in the affairs of men. He lifts up one and puts down another, and he does all these things, but He blesses us. And she talks about here, the barren hath borne 7. And at this point, she had not borne 7. But she says, 7 is kind of the number of completion and perfection. And so, for her, that was the most amazing thing, to bring forth this little child and give him to the Lord. It was amazing. Okay. And then notice in verse 10, we'll close with this. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. And He shall give strength unto His king and exalt the horn of His anointed. Now, I remind you, at this time, Israel did not have a king. So this kind of points forward to the time when they will have a king. And some people have, some critics have said, well, this clearly means that this was written later and it was added in and it was changed. And, we don't have to play those games. We don't really have to do that. Just know that if there is a God in heaven, He's able to give us understanding of what's going to happen in the future, to predict the future. And so there is a sense here that we're looking forward to the king. Now, we know that it is, ultimately King David who will be established, and then through him, King Jesus. So, looking forward to the king. So, Hannah has an unusual testimony. And, you say, well, that must have been hard. Well, yes, I'm sure there were parts of it that were hard. But I think God more than repaid her, more than gave her back what she lost. And again, they've been in heaven together now for 3,000 years. How do you measure that? How much does that offset all this stuff? Well, what's that song we sing? Heaven will surely be worth it all. So worth all the sorrows that here befall. We just need to realize we're going to go through testing and trials and trouble. It's not unusual. It's not out of the ordinary. It's very much a part in the fabric of this life. Don't be surprised by it. And don't be dismayed by it. Trust God in it and ask Him to redeem it. But keep giving your family, your children, your job, your home, whatever you have, keep giving it to the Lord. It all ultimately is His, comes from Him, goes back to Him. So, Hannah stands out, though. She's an amazing woman, and I think gives us some great food for thought. So, all right. Well, we're going to close in prayer. And one of the things that I think tonight we can ask God for is to give us faith to believe Him and trust Him. And I think what Hannah does here shows us an incredible amount of trust. She just trusted God. She just believed that God was faithful and that God was good and that God was strong and that she could trust her little boy to the Lord. And I want to encourage you to trust God with the greatest treasure you have, or the greatest thing that's in your life that maybe is, you know, a challenge, or is something that you're struggling with. Let's give it to the Lord tonight. And just pray that God will give us a sense of peace and of rejoicing in Him. And know that He is able. He's far more able than you or I to meet the needs that are present in our hearts and our lives, our families. So let's bow. If there are other needs in your heart tonight, I want to encourage you to do whatever God leads you to do. If you need to be saved, or if you need to open your heart to follow the Lord in some area, and if I can pray with you in any way, I'd be glad to do that. But Lord, let's just pray that God will lead us in this moment. Father, we're thankful for the story of Hannah, but Lord, I just confess it's a little hard for me to grasp and to really get a hold of what she did there. But Lord, it's amazing, and I thank you for her example. Thank you for her faith in you and her trust in you. And I pray you'll build that in us, God. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So Lord, use this story to encourage us to know that you are more than able to meet the needs of our heart and our life. And God, we just ask you to fill us with your presence. Give us your joy. Lord, lead us. Speak to us tonight. If there are needs that need to be met, Father, I pray that you will just draw us to your side and help us, Lord.